Hey, everybody, this is Fran Fraschella, and welcome to another episode of World of Basketball, the show that takes you around the globe, from every corner of the globe, where we interview players, coaches, executives from everywhere, Australia to Lithuania to Serbia to Turkey and parts unknown. We're enjoying bringing you some great stories, and today we've got another great one. Kyle Wilcher, former Gonzaga star for Mark Few, who also, by the way, has a national championship ring playing with Anthony Davis and Michael Gilchrist at Kentucky. He'll tell you his story as a young guy growing up in Portland, Oregon, the son of a Canadian Olympian, Greg Wilcher, who played 13 years in Europe as well. And Kyle's journey is a cool one. He'll tell you why he loved Kentucky so much, why it was hard to leave, going to Gonzaga, his second choice, by the way, when he was making a decision coming out of high school, a brief stint with the Houston Rockets and in the G League, and now is established as a rising star in Europe. He's currently playing for Turk Telecom in Ankara, Turkey, in the TBL, the Turkish Basketball League. Just a great guy, great stories. And of course, if you're a college basketball fan, you certainly remember his great success at Gonzaga. And by the way, SEC Sixth Man of the Year as a sophomore at Kentucky. I asked Mark Few a few weeks ago when we were talking on the phone, is Corey Kispert, their outstanding senior, the best shooter you ever had? And he contemplated for about 5 seconds and he said, Kyle Wilcher was pretty good too. And that's kind of the kind of player he is, 6 foot 10, could play away from the basket. You're going to really enjoy it. I'm so excited to bring you this podcast today with Kyle. And he'll give you some insight on playing at Kentucky, his great friendships there, his great relationship with Coach Cal. Of course, the great run he had in 2 years at Gonzaga, playing for Mark Few. And then certainly what it's like to be an American in Europe, playing at a high level, but all the pitfalls and the good and the bad, I guess, mostly good. You'll really enjoy this young guy. He's just a great guy. I've gotten to know him through the years, and he'll really educate you, I think, on European basketball. If you like what we're doing, subscribe. You can subscribe on the Apple Podcast. You can subscribe on the Sirius XM Podcast. Make sure you download the Sirius XM app, because you can go back, whether it's my 40 or so shows or anybody else who's got SiriusXM podcasts, go back and listen to some incredible content. And we're certainly proud of what we're bringing you in World of Basketball every week. Oh, and by the way, didn't have a show last week. Obviously, the weather was crazy and we weren't able to get it to you. So I hope you'll forgive us for that. With that, it's a long podcast, goes about an hour. So let's get right to it. My conversation with former Zag star, Kyle Wilcher. Kyle, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. We have so many fun things to talk about today.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. And the viewers missed our conversation. I was giving you a hard time because you got the Jayhawk background in the back. And I was disappointed you weren't in the kennel. So
we're going to take
care of that. Just wanted to put that out.
We're going to take care of that. I'm going to reach out to my man, Barrett Henderson at Gonzaga, and he's going to get me a kennel background for my Zoom call. So
there you go.
We'll definitely do that. You know how I feel about Coach Few and Gonzaga basketball. First of all, how is daily? You're playing in Ankara, Turkey, which for those who don't know is the capital. It's in the middle of the country, probably maybe 5 million people, Kyle, roughly 4 to 5.
Yeah, it's a very large city. And, you know, because it's my second year here, I've gotten two completely different experiences in the same city. So last year, you know, me and my wife were trying to apply ourselves and check out as many restaurants. The food here is amazing. It is cold here. We got a lot of snow last year. And now you fast forward to this year and the COVID virus hits the whole entire world. You really can't escape it because right now there's no restaurants open and we're just living a simple life. You know, it's kind of helped me get in tune with my diet even more so because my wife and I cook a lot of our meals. Basketball is going great. We're very fortunate to continue to play and right now I just can't complain, because at the end of the day, we're just happy the seasons keep continuing on. So
yeah, that's great. You're in the midst of a really good season. You're playing for Turk Telecom, which is, you know, a great team, you know, in a very good league, obviously. And we'll get into everything. If you don't know Kyle's background, and you may remember him at Gonzaga, but you also may remember him winning a national championship at Kentucky, and also a great high school player in Portland, Oregon, and just so many NBA is so many things to cover, Kyle, with you. Just tell me, you're kind of fortunate, and many of the guys that play overseas, and in your case, Turkey, because you're on a team, as is not uncommon in Turkey, with a lot of guys you probably knew before you went to Turkey. You have, I would say, a third of your team is either Canadian or American. And what kind of adjustment is that? Or how much easier is that adjustment when you're kind of sharing the life experiences with people that you know are from the same place in the world that you are originally?
It makes all the difference in the world, Fran. You know, I was very fortunate to last year sign, if you want to rewind back to time in high school, the class of 2011, I signed with a good buddy of mine, Nick Johnson, who went to Arizona. So I was able to come last year. We both signed together. We kind of talked about this team, and you know, we decided to go to a team where we hadn't heard a lot of noise about, but the coaching staff really believed in us. And so we wanted to come here, and coming with a friend of mine, you know, we played on the same AAU team. It's been one of the funnest basketball years I've had. And then this year, you know, our center, we just lost our center because he signed with Cheska Moscow. And we replaced him with another class of 2011 guy named Johnny O'Brien. So, yeah, so a little blast from the past. 2011 is strong here in Ankara, Turkey. So, but like you said, you know, going back to your question, we're just blessed to be with guys we get along with on and off the court. You know, overseas, you got some long travel days. I mean, we'll leave at 6 a.m. some mornings. We won't get to the next city till 10 p.m. So when you're with a bunch of guys who don't take life too seriously, it makes it all the difference in the world.
That's really cool. Tell me, you're recently married in the last couple of years, right? Tell me your wife's name so I know.
So my wife's name is Sharde, and we were actually, you know, this is good for your podcast because we fell in love with Greece so much that we actually got married in Greece. We chose a set of islands off the coast of Athens. We had all our family and friends. We actually planned it to be a small, intimate wedding, and 70 people showed up. 78 people. So, so Sharde has been kind of my rider overseas. And that's another thing. When you have someone you love and care dearly about and able to share these ups and downs with, it makes it all the difference in the world.
So you guys are kind of like, I mean, you're a professional basketball player like your dad was, and we'll get into that as well. But you guys are kind of, COVID changes everything, obviously, for you personally right now. But in a sense, you kind of see in the world with your wife. You played in Spain, you played in Greece, and now Turkey. And so I guess it's got to be kind of a sense of adventure.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it was an amazing year, my rookie year playing in the NBA and playing and getting to see some amazing players. But when I came overseas, I didn't know what the lifestyle would entail. And, you know, if I'm the type of guy that if we have off days or after season, instead of rushing back to the States, we always try to make a trip. So, you know, for example, last week, because of the FIBA break, I've been playing heavy minutes and I needed kind of a reset, a refresher. So my wife and I traveled to the Maldives Islands and got to see a remarkable part of the world that, you know, if we're coming from Portland, Oregon, flight doesn't look too realistic. So, yeah. So for us, it's really a blessing that we're able to be closer to some really exotic locations over here. Cause when my basketball career is over, we're going to like look back and be like, wow, we really took advantage of it.
Otherwise life in Turkey is just normal. It's just, you know, you go to practice, you come home and see the country at all. Of course you play in Istanbul all the time.
Yeah. I think we go to Istanbul pretty much every other week. And so my wife used to make trips like that. She's actually now 7 months pregnant. So
oh, very
she's
cool.
not, Yeah. So we got a little girl on the way coming in Great. 2 months, and she's Great. Actually going to be born here in Turkey. So wow. we got a private hospital that's, I can see through my windows right across the street. So having that security is nice, but yeah, like this year has been a lot different than last year. We haven't really got out as much, you know, there's a bunch of circumstances, but we are the type that if we have 2 days off or a day off, we like exploring in the country, and we got a nice car. So we're able to make little moves here and there.
That's cool. How much, we'll talk basketball on and off, and cause you play for two great Hall of Fame. One's in the Hall of Fame, Coach Cal, and Coach Few is obviously going to be in the Hall of Fame. Coming over to play in Europe, I know, is an adjustment for a lot of guys, oftentimes, especially depending on the program they come out of. You, especially your last couple of years at Gonzaga, you played in a program where teamwork and togetherness, and I'm sure at Kentucky too, you won a national championship with some pretty cool guys. But how much of being a part of two really good teams made your adjustment to European basketball, where the team is first, that much easier?
Yeah, I mean, I always tell people I think I got the perfect college basketball career, because in high school I couldn't decide between two programs, and it was Kentucky and Gonzaga. So I decided to split the time with two. I went 2 years Kentucky and 2 years Gonzaga. So for me, like that was the best time in the world. But preparing myself for overseas, especially being at Kentucky, you know, I chose that program because I wanted to play against the best players in the world, and, you know, getting to go up every day against Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis. I don't think there's a player over here that is going to block my shot like that. So getting to adapt to that length really helped me. And then going to Gonzaga just really helped me, because I think Gonzaga has a system that's very similar to how a lot of overseas team plays. So for myself, I think I was able to make the biggest leap in my basketball career playing inside and out. At Kentucky, I was more just a sniper shooter on the wing. And, you know, Gonzaga, I got that year off to work in the weight room and then work on my post game. And I had a whole year. That's the thing people don't see, is I had a whole year just practicing. So if I did a terrible shot in practice, it's okay. Like, Coach Few just let me, because I was on the team. You know, I was on the scout team. So I got to really, you know, work on my game. So that just really helped me for my career.
You know, it's funny because I've talked to Kelly Olynyk about this. You had a similar experience. And I'm jumping around, but I think people would love to know. Like, let's go back and talk about this first of all. We'll get back to that. But you're Canadian, but are you dual citizen because you were born in Portland?
Yeah, so I was born in Portland, and I think I was like 12 years old. And my dad was like, I think I want to get Kyle a passport. And at the time, I'm just getting into basketball. I have no idea, like, why. He's like, if you want to play for the national team someday, it'll be important. And, you know, around our house, there was a bunch of posters of my dad. Like, I really looked up to him.
Yeah. Let's tell people about your dad. Your dad was a tremendous player at Oregon State. He's Canadian. He played at Oregon State. He played a long time in Europe, as I recall. Yeah. And then, did you guys settle back in Portland, because he's Canadian and played on the national team? Mm-hmm. So now pick up that story, because that's where it kind of gets interesting.
Yeah. So my parents met at Oregon State. So they settled down in Portland. And, you know, my dad was probably the opposite player that I was.
Right.
He's a 7 foot guy, 300 pounds, led the Olympics in rebounding 1 year, like the 84 Olympics. And wow. He didn't shoot one jumper. He was all hook shots. So people always ask me why I'm able to shoot. And the honest answer is, my dad, while I was little, said he's going to go to shooting camps. And so he just sent me to quick handle basketball shooting camps in the Northwest. And that's how I learned how to shoot. So I just, at a young age, I learned the fundamentals and picked up shooting. And that's now, I mean, he always kills me when growing up. He's like, you need to post up more. And so that's why now I'm in Europe. It's kind of went full circle, and now I'm having to post up pretty much every play.
It's crazy, because you still can shoot it. I mean, even the way you're playing now, I notice your 3-point shooting is still outrageous, but you're playing inside more. So Anthony Davis and Shemek Karnowski actually helped you.
For sure. That's without a doubt.
All right. So I got to tell you this. About a month ago, I was doing a Zags game. And of course, it's all Zoom calls now back here. And we're not able to go to the games in person. And I said to Coach Few, I said, is Corey Kispert the best shooter you've ever had? And he stopped and he thought, and he goes, you know how Coach is. He goes, I don't know. Wiltshire was pretty good too. So that's pretty good company for Corey to be there.
Forget about me. I'm glad.
No, that was
that kid. That Zag team is fun to watch right now. And that the Corey's been killing. So it's awesome to watch these young Zags right now.
It's so much fun because they really play just so they, whether they're better than some of the teams you played on or not, you played on some great teams. Like the style is still the same, right? When you watch it, it's still, all right, if we got better guards some years, we'll highlight them. But like when I think of Coach Few and your program, there's always a balance of inside and out. Like it doesn't matter if you have an All-American Sabonis or you or, you know, Perkins, it's always going to be balanced. It's almost like they play the same way every year.
Yeah, and it's for an alumni watching in, it's crazy even saying alumni now. Just watching, like, I think the biggest thing about the program is it's just been building blocks since the throwback days. And, like, each one has helped them get to this level. And even our teams, like, we were good, but we were fighting to get to, like, Elite Eights and Final Fours. And now it's, like, they're almost expected. So just to see the program where it was and where it is now, it's really fun to see. And, you know, Coach Few's in a great spot. And I'm definitely a proud alumni now watching.
Yeah. And you know, Coach Few is going fishing in his little stream there before practice when it's, you know, he's making sure the kids are off to school. He's going to do a little fishing and then come over to campus. At least he's got a pretty good life, I think.
Oh, he's got a great life and he's got a great family there. And I definitely miss, I mean, pretty much every Friday he has the team over for barbecue, stuff like that. And those are those experiences that now looking back is like you miss when you're professional because you don't get those type of experiences anymore. And he did a great job of just getting guys together.
Yeah. You we talked about Coach Cal. I really want to get into that. You were a high school All-American at a Portland Jesuit. By the way, a pretty good high school basketball programs produced some good players through the years. Mike Dunleavy Jr., yourself, pretty good.
Yeah, they've had some really good guys. And it's funny because Jesuit is a Gonzaga, or Gonzaga is a Jesuit school. So the way Gonzaga plays is how my high school team played. We played very together. And so it people were shocked that I didn't choose Gonzaga the first time around in high school. But, you know, I wanted to win a national championship and thank God was able to do that.
Well, you know, I've known Coach Cal. He and I were college sophomores and we worked Dean Smith's basketball camp at North Carolina. And when we were college sophomores, we were suite mates and he hasn't changed. All he cares about is winning and making money. And he does both extremely well. What was it about him? What did you learn from Coach Cal? Like you won a national title. You were a key part of two really good teams. What was it? What was it about playing at Kentucky? Let's start with Coach Cal first.
Well, you missed one. You said he likes winning money, but he also likes his players to make money. And I think that's a huge point that I love about him is at the end of the day, like he wants the program to win, but I think what makes him the most happy is when his players leave and are successful. You know, I think it really stands out to me when I would go to practice early and he has his routine every day and he'd be on the treadmill and he'd have a particular manager print out every player that's played for him a stat sheet of professional stats. So whether you're overseas in the G League, NBA, he might not hit you up after every game, but he's reading your stats pretty much everything. And I think it really says a lot about his character because I know there's a lot of people out there that they don't know how to feel about him. And for me, being an ex-player who transferred from his program and I went to Gonzaga, you know, he didn't have to call me and see how I was doing once I left. And those are the things that people will never know. And, you know, I just, to this day, even after basketball, I think he's a guy I can call up and ask him like, hey, I want to get in the coaching world. I really believe he would help anyone who played for him. He calls it the La Familia. And you know, it's unless you're one of his guys, you don't realize that love that he has for his players.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. His dad was a U.S. Air. It's now, is it U.S. Air anymore? No, it's they're part of American Airlines. His dad was a U.S. Air baggage handler in Pittsburgh. And I've been to his house when we were young. And he lived at very modest means, really modest means. So it's funny to see him have so much joy in his players being successful. Says a lot about him and, you know, what he stands for. Because he did not make it. He came up the hard way himself. You know, he didn't have a silver spoon. The opportunity to play in front of Big Blue Nation. You know, like, what is that? Do you feel the pressure as a player? You're 18, 19, 20 years old, and you know everything's being written about, talked about, social media. Does that ever get to you?
You know, for myself, personally, no. It's interesting because every player is different. And you know, when I went there, I think I'd be more nervous going back and playing now than I would be then. Like, at the time, like, for myself, like, now looking back on it, I still don't understand how I did it. There'd be a game where I wouldn't come in until late in the second half and I'd just shoot my first three and it would always go in. And so so for myself, it really like helped me just, you know, I think I didn't realize the severity of the moment at the time. But playing for Big Blue Nation is one of the most intense experiences you can ever imagine. You know, me saying the words, I'm sure I'll get 100 Twitter notifications once you release.
So. We will. Our producer, Chris Tyler, will make sure that we highlight hashtag BBN and Kentucky basketball. People definitely want to know what you're doing because you were part of one of the historic teams in their history. I mean, they've won numerous national titles, but 2012, I believe, right? The team that you were a freshman on. Well, first of all, did you know Anthony Davis was that good the minute you got on campus?
No, I mean, it's funny, you know, when we got to campus, it was me, Anthony Davis, Michael Gilchrist, and Marcus Teague, and we're all freshmen. So, you know, we're hanging out all the time. And once we go to practice, it's like, whoa, like, because there was returners on that team that were really, really good. Darius Miller. And one name I haven't said yet, but Terrence Jones was a monster on that team. And so when Anthony came in, Terrence really helped him mature faster than anyone could have. Because Terrence was a dog and he was going at him every day. And so, but yeah, like to answer your question, like no one knew how good he was going to be. We saw his length. We saw his athleticism. You know, first day we had vertical testing and he touched the top of the backboard. And it's like, you know, it's like that's special. But I think where reason he's at where he's at is those hours that no one saw. He was in the gym every night. Like he never would want to go to parties. Like I was one of his closest friends that year. And he was always in the gym at 8 or 9 at night. We'd have practice the next morning. So those are those things that, you know, he became special because of those things. And a guy who really was huge in that was Kenny Payne. You know, he was right there in the gym with us at night. And, you know, I'm even the player I am today because of those two as well. So those years are invaluable for me. And I wasn't the best player when I was at Kentucky yet. I still was developing. And I really believe that I'm able to be successful overseas because of those years. And they really helped me develop as a person on and off the court.
Well, had you stayed, you would have had two great years. There's no doubt because you were already on your way. And, Playing for Cal at practice, I know he can, you know, again, we know each other well. He can get on you and yell and scream. How did he help you become, you know, a better player?
Well, first of all, he got me in shape. Like, you'd be in practice, and if he's telling me to close out better and I do a bad closeout, like, I can still hear, I have, like, probably PTSD. I can hear the treadmill in the background going. So, you know, for me, like, first of all, he got me in shape, but I think, like, I keep saying this, but it really helped me for overseas because coaches don't take it easy on you over here. And so I think just having that experience and having a tough skin, and at the end of the day, if he's yelling and screaming at you, he has a way of like, I mean, all his players I can say can attest to this, is even though he screams and yells at you, like, you know, it's out of a good place. And so it always brings good in you. And like, he'll yank you from a game, but you're going to go right back in within a minute. Like, he always talks to you and then you're going back in. So, you know, for myself, it really helped me just always being ready and always just staying positive.
Yeah. All right. One last thing about Kentucky, because that's a whole show in itself, if we wanted to, because of your experience there. Winning a national championship. Part of the reason you went there was because you thought you could, and you did it as a freshman. What was the, I remember it was New Orleans. You beat Kansas in the final, as I recall. What was that experience like as you look back on, you know, your career, just being a part of something like that?
Yeah, I mean, going into the tournament, we had just lost to a really good Vanderbilt team in the SEC tournament. So it sounds weird, but losing that game really helped us. I think, like, it really just lit a fire, because when we, the selection Sunday, I'll remember we got paired up. Our path was really difficult. We had to go through Baylor, and that team was a monster. We had to go through Louisville, who was really, really good, and then Kansas. And so going into the tournament, like, we knew we were good, but until you get it done, it's like a different thing. And so when that final horn, like, whether you played 5 minutes in the championship or 0 minutes, like, being a part of a college basketball team winning a national championship, I don't think there's a better basketball experience you can possibly do. Like, and I played in most of the games, but I didn't play big minutes and I wasn't a huge part of the team. But looking back on it, even the walk-ons, like, that is an incredible experience. So, you know, it was just one of those things I'll never forget. And I got a really big ring in my trophy case to show off.
But most importantly, you'll remember that ring as your daughter gets born, and hopefully other children, you'll be able to show them. What was it like being on campus like the next week or two? Was it crazy?
Yeah. I mean, I remember, because we're in New Orleans, and,
yeah,
you know, it was literally like thousands of people in the streets, Kentucky fans. So had, like, obviously all our families were there. And so sharing that moment, you know, we couldn't really go anywhere because the fans were so crazy, but we landed our plane in Lexington, and there was just, it was like the most amount of people I've seen in one place I've ever seen in my life. And we just went a bus straight to the gym. And just for that, those last couple of weeks, you know, our last couple of months of school, like, just everywhere you went, it was just people just, they would just start cheering. It was like almost awkward to some extent.
Yes. Yeah. That's crazy. I know. Yeah. I've seen it. It's an amazing place. You had a choice. You could have stayed in Kentucky. You could have stayed and redshirted. I think Coach Payne and Coach Cal said, listen, if you're worried about playing time, just spend a year getting better. Kind of like Kelly Olynyk did, because Kelly was the first guy that I remember Coach Lloyd and Coach Few have told me since, like, he was ready to transfer from Gonzaga, and they said, why don't you just transfer here to Gonzaga and just sit out the year? You kind of did it a little different. You got your national championship wing, some great memories, great people, and you did go back home to the Northwest. So when you chose Gonzaga, what were you expecting out of the experience?
I think the biggest thing is a huge thing was they called it the Olynyk program. And, you know, seeing where, because I knew him with Canada basketball, and where he was to where he went was tremendous. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy. But for me, I knew another thing is the system at Gonzaga was more suitable for a four-man. Like, everything was run through me in the high post and low post. And, you know, for myself, like, that going into the year, I was, like, really excited about the opportunity to lift a lot of weights, just not worry about shooting, like, just work on my body. But I'll tell you, the first week of school, when the team leaves and you're just having to wake up for 6 a.m. lifts, I was like, I didn't know what I signed myself up for. And so, yeah. But, like, looking back on it, you know, a huge impact on my life was Travis Knight, the strength coach there. And I'm very grateful for him as a friend and also a strength coach. You know, he didn't have anything all day, but he still made me lift at 6 a.m. And so it was like, at the time I was pissed, but, you know, looking back, it really created like a hard work and, you know, kind of chip on my shoulder. And it really helped me, obviously, to finish my college career, but even to this day.
You were in a personal boot camp, really, with Travis.
Every day. We did everything you can imagine, lifting weights. One day, we legit, like when I tell you this guy is, I don't know how tall he is, 5'8". I don't know if you've met this guy. We wrestled. He just said, today we're wrestling. And I didn't know why we were wrestling, but it really helps me now get in a stance. And so it's like these little tricks he does, like he's kind of like the, we called him the mad scientist. And those are those things that's just, it really helped my body, you know, open up and be able to move better.
Yeah. Did you visit Gonzaga out of high school, or were they just so close you didn't have to?
Yeah, I did. I took a visit there. I think I went up a couple times. I went to a bunch of games. My top three schools were always Oregon, Gonzaga, and Kentucky. And when Kenny Payne actually was at Oregon, he transferred to Kentucky. So I think that was a huge reason why I was even able to be watched by Kentucky, you know? So, KP, I've known him for a long time.
Yeah, that's cool. So you had that relationship already with Kevin Pangos. Did you have Kevin? Had you and Kevin? Yeah, I think I saw you, if I'm not mistaken, at the under-19s in San Antonio, right?
Yeah, I had played with Kevin in like the global challenges, and I played with him then in that I don't know what it was, a FIBA event in San Antonio. One of my favorite point guards to play with I've ever played with, and he's just that guy that he'll make the pretty pass, but he'll make the boring pass. And I think that's what makes him a special player, is his ability to find people the ball and be unselfish. And he can score the ball too, but the way he was able to find the ball, he was a huge recruiting pitch by Coach Few, for sure.
So when you came back, you had a comfort level with Kelly had already gone by then off to the NBA, but Kevin was back with, I think, Gary Bell and that team, right? And Big Shem was there.
Shemek was there, and then the beast Sabonis, who just keeps getting better and better. This guy, when I tell you, we knew he was going to be good because of his mentality. I mean, he would start the game off in Gonzaga with a layup, and he would flex on people and yell in your face.
Yeah,
we're like, dude, you only have 2 points right now. Like, calm it down. But it's been awesome to watch him in the league, because he's another guy who just works his butt off.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you this. I was thinking about this. You ending up in Malaga after, when you came over, did that have anything to do with the Sabonis family? Because I know his dad is a resident. Did that help with the connection there?
Completely unrelated.
Wow.
They had just, the year before I played in Athens, and they actually tried to get me that year.
Yeah.
And I went to Athens. So they were kind of on my radar. But when I showed up, all the interviewers were about Sabonis,
yeah.
Sabonis.
Yeah.
And I had even hit up Domas and said, hey, can I stay in your guys' place?
Yeah.
Because they owned a place there, but they had ended up selling it. But yeah, completely unrelated. And it was pretty cool to see that.
That is cool. I just was going to ask you something else about that. Now I lost my train of thought. Okay. Here's what it is. Because Chris Tyler, my sidekick, and I, we always talk about this. Louisville, Kentucky, St. Mary's, Gonzaga, or Olympiakos and Panathinaikos?
The Olympiakos, Panathinaikos makes every college rivalry look little.
Yeah.
It's most, until you're, if you're able to travel overseas, Fran, you have to go to a game. Like, I've never, ever seen anything like it in my life. It's incredible.
Tell me more. Give me that game day in the arena. Tell me what's going on.
I would say we're in the playoffs with them, the finals, and it's a back and forth series, just two historic clubs, historic players. And a big thing the fans would do is throw stink bombs on the floor. If I get a bad foul or I hard foul them, they're booing me, throwing stink bombs on the court. So the next game, they put up nets around the court. So you know, I'm thinking like, okay, so now they can't throw the stink bombs. We hear like our security guard goes, guys, run, run. And this is during a live game. So I'm thinking like, what's going on? I look to my right and there's a guy with a Freddy Krueger mask and he's has scissors and he's cutting the net like this, cuts the net off and just starts throwing beer bottles and stuff because of the bad calls by the refs. And so they're literally like insane soccer fans watching basketball who just, they care so much about their team that they hate us with a passion. Like if I sign with the next club, Panathinaikos, they'll love me. And now Olympiacos fans will hate me. So it's just like, it's in them so hard. It's like, it's hard to describe until you see it.
You knew that going in, right? Obviously when you signed, you knew that it was crazy, right?
Yeah. So when I signed, I was trying to remember the timeline, but Patrick Beverly with the Rockets, I was with him my rookie year. He actually reached out to me and said, because there was like some rumors saying, you know, I might go to Olympiacos. And he actually played for Olympiacos. And he said, Kyle, if you have an opportunity to play for this club, you have to go. And so he was a huge veteran. You know, he was my vet my rookie year. And so he said it will be the best experience of your life. You know, the one thing I did when I went over there is I didn't enjoy the first couple months. And he's like, so just take advantage of it. And when I got there, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how to pack for Athens, Greece. But what people don't know is, you know, 20 minutes down the coast, you're right on the beach in Athens and the weather is remarkable. So that first year getting to play abroad and my wife came over with me was one of the best years of our lives. We absolutely love Greece. We love those fans. And I mean, we look at properties for sale in Greece when we're bored. So that's how much we love the country. So, I mean, look at this. This is our wedding photo in Greece.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool, man. We were watching a picture of you and your wife. That's outstanding. And then you went to Malaga too. So you didn't have it so bad. The first Malaga is another beautiful place on the Costa del Sol. So,
yeah, I mean, people were giving me a hard time. They thought I was just choosing clubs based off the weather. Yes, because Malaga is the same. And we ended up liking that city so much. I have a house in Malaga.
That's cool.
And so, yeah, so we got a place there and we're actually renting it out to a former college player, Tim Abramidis, currently.
Yeah, so, yeah, from Notre Dame. Yeah. Like you, Dad was a great college player.
The Abramidis family, really good.
Yeah, his dad played at UConn and, you know, was a tremendous player. Gosh, Tim's been in Europe quite a bit, a long time now, right?
Yeah, he's been in some really good clubs. He actually played on the islands in Spain the previous year.
Yeah.
So we had played each other, like, I think four times. And as soon as he signed to Malaga, I said, hey, I have a place there. If you want to rent it out, it has a dryer. And that's sounds funny to most people, but there's no dryers overseas. And those are the things you don't know as an American. So
that's funny.
But yeah.
Yep. What's up? Tell people, I know this because I love the game overseas so much, but every guy's different. I don't know your situation, but tell the listener what it's like. Like most of the guys that go overseas are basically on a 1-year deal. Like if you play well, you could stay with your club or go to a bigger club. If you don't play well, you're in Belgium. You know, what's no offense, Belgium, but they don't pay as well as, you know, as they do in other places in Europe. What's that like? What's that pressure like of always having to stay healthy and produce? And luckily so far you're producing.
Yeah. You know, if you really look at the big picture of European basketball, it's very stressful. But I don't let that stress get to me because I'm a big believer in you really can only control what you can control. You know, I work on my body in the weight room. I get my shots up. Injuries happen and I just got to pray, you know, put it in God's hands that I stay healthy. But going back, I think this is a good thing for viewers listening, especially if you're a young player coming overseas, is you really just have to have an open mind and you really, anything's on the table. And when I say anything, you'll see a guy sign a 3-year contract and the team will release him in 2 months. It's very sporadic, but on the contrary, you can be a rookie and sign in who knows where, a random country, and be killing, and you can get signed by the top EuroLeague team who wants a young guy who can just go in and play hard for 2 months. And because they do contracts that are like, hey, we'll sign you for 2 months while a guy's hurt. And if you do well, we'll keep you. And then that'll lead to the next job. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you just have to come over here and just do what you do. If you're a shooter, be a shooter. If you're a post player, be a post player. And at the end of the day, you know, it's always nice to have a big, powerful agent, but your game will do the talking. And if a team wants you, they'll find you.
Yeah. When you played in 16, 17, you played with the Rockets and you also played for the Vipers, the RV, Rio Grande Valley Vipers. That's what it is. Had to get that out. Was it your dad played 13 years in Europe, around the world? A lot of guys in your situation will keep fighting the system and try to say, I can stick in the league. You're a great shooter, obviously. The game is made for guys like you. You made kind of a business decision. Like, I can stick around G League, hope to get signed by this team or that team, or I can go start my career in Europe. What's the mindset of somebody like you? You have a national championship ring. You play for two incredible programs. You are always going to be a former NBA player for the rest of your life. You can tell your grandkids that. How do you balance the idea of, like, I want to be able to say I'm in the NBA, but I also can play in Europe and have a great career?
Yeah, you know, for me, my rookie year, I was very fortunate to sign with a team, the Rockets, who had a system that was just catered for a stretch four man. I was able to play and be around Ryan Anderson, one of the best stretch fours in the game in the last 10 years. And so that year, things worked in my favor. I was able to fight for a roster spot and make the team. But if you fast forward another year, I was with the Raptors. Oh, I was in the trade with Chris Paul, got to a team, got waived. And then so I was able to reset and sign with the Raptors, another club on paper I thought I could fit in with, and things didn't work out. So I was able to, then I was essentially signed up for the G League. So if you look at that, 2 years, 1 year making the team, 1 year not, it's a 50% success rate. So going into that next year, yes, I could go in another training camp, or I could be in the G League all year. But when an Olympiacos calls, it's really hard for a rookie to get a EuroLeague contract like that. And my first year, they said, you know, we're going to sign you to, I think it was a 5-month contract. And if you do well, we'll extend you the last 3 months. And so when Patrick Beverley called me and said, you need to take this, I was like, all right, I'll take it. And also my agents were like, this is an incredible opportunity. And I went there and I ended up being there the whole entire 8 months. And so I think each year I've been fortunate to be with a club the whole entire year, but you'll see guys who will bounce 3-4 teams in a year. I've been very fortunate to really make an impact in each club I've been on so far.
Explain to people, I do this all the time. We try to do it on the podcast. The difference between playing, let's say, at Gonzaga and playing in a EuroLeague game. The EuroLeague is really essentially the second best league in the world. And as you know, guys, that now you're in the Basketball Champions League, still a high level. Tell people what it's like to play like stressful games in a European, you know, continental league, not just a league in Turkey, but when you're playing in, like, say, the Euro League, what that experience is like.
I think I really believe that Euro League is essentially the NBA of Europe, obviously. But I think that these games, I mean, you're coming over here as a young guy and you're thinking, I'm going to go overseas and just destroy. But when you get into that Euro League, these are grown men. The game is different. The rules are different. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, I remember playing against Luka like 3 times my rookie year. And I'm like, this guy is really, really good. And I'm thinking, like, this guy, and I was having heated discussions with Americans thinking that he wasn't going to do anything in the NBA. And I've seen it with my own eyes. And I thought I know basketball, but when he came over to the NBA and just did his thing, and he said, he would say, oh, I think NBA is easier to score than Europe. Every player in Europe is going to agree with that statement, because it's hard to put into words why that is. But I really believe if I went to the NBA right now with the spacing, I can get easier shots up, because like it's the weirdest thing. Europe is a very tough grind, and it's not for everyone. You see a lot of Americans don't make it over here, and it's hard to describe, but I think it's the combination of being away from home, the new rules. You're playing against grown men. Like my rookie year, I'm playing against 38-year-old veterans. I mean, Luis Scola is still over here killing people. And it shows how high of a level it is, and it's really remarkable. I think the people who know basketball know how good it is, but until you see it and play in it, you don't really believe it until you really dissect it.
We've had Luis Scola on the show. We've had Kyle Hines on the show. Eric McCollum, who has played in Turkey, CJ's older brother. So they all say the same thing. What fans don't realize, in Europe, FIBA rules, you can play zone, so you can really crowd a shooter or a scorer. Now, it helps you probably, but like there's just less space, I would say. That's probably the biggest. They're grown men, NBA-sized guys, and there's less space. Would that be right?
There's less space. And there, like you said, you can zone up in that. You don't realize how much the defensive three in the key really helps, because there's times where I'll get the ball on the post off of a mismatch. I'm thinking, oh, there's a smaller guy there, but there's like three guys in the paint. And so it's like, I have to pass the ball. Like maybe if there's two guys on me, I can still shoot it, but three is a little like, I'm not Kobe over here. So, but it's like, it's one of those things. It's just like, the court's not even that much smaller. It's just, I really don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah, no, well, we try to. That's the thing I love about International Hoop, is that we try to tell people, like, this is why we call it World of Basketball, because the basketball globe has shrunk. And a guy like you is, you know, kicking butt. You're having a great season in Turkey, and Kentucky fans and Gonzaga fans, when they hear the podcast this week, they're going to go, oh, that's where Kyle Wiltshire is. You know,
so it's one of those things. It's like Twitter is such a powerful platform. As soon as I mention anything BBN or Gonzaga, they're like swarm on me. It's unbelievable. But yeah, it's like people, that's the thing about Europe. And that's probably the reason why EuroLeague's so good, is if you can name, like, of the Americans over here, each player on each EuroLeague team was an animal in their college team. So it's like all-star game every game for Europe, essentially, of college basketball. I mean, you see guys over here where it's like, I'll see a guy, and even a guy like Johnny O'Brien, I haven't crossed paths with this guy in years. And when he signed with our team, I was kind of looking at his stuff the last couple of years, like where he's been at. And he's been with Maccabi Tel Aviv, Red Star, some really top clubs doing his thing. And it just shows how high of a level Europe is when a guy like that kind of goes under the radar.
Yeah, Jordan Mickey's over there somewhere. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have been in the NBA who could go back to the NBA, really. And there's guys that I'm sure there's guys you've played against in the last 3 years that you go, oh, he's an NBA player if he wants to be, you know.
Sure. It's one of those things that's like balancing guaranteed money with the risk and reward. Like, I would love to try out for another NBA team again. It's tough contractually, because these overseas teams are offering me a lot of money guaranteed, fully guaranteed. And if an NBA team can, if they say partially guaranteed, then I'll definitely, my ears will be open. But it's tough to go for a non-guaranteed contract, because it's everything's working against you, essentially.
Yeah, great. All right, we're gonna keep you a couple more questions, and this is fabulous, and I know we're gonna have a great podcast. I saw you not only at under 19s years ago, but you were on the Pan Am team that was in Toronto. You played in the Pan Am Games in Toronto, I recall, on that team. What's the tie with Canadian basketball, as far as, do they stay in touch with you? Are you looking forward to, you know, health-wise, you feel like you're ready to go if you're called on? And what's the situation for the coming summer? Because you can't be at the, maybe you can be back in June. I don't know if you're going to be back in time for the tournament? And
I will be there, Fran. I will be there in June. And it's actually the world of basketball. This life has been crazy because we're actually playing the qualifying tournament where my dad played in Victoria for like a Canadian university team. So we're playing in the same gym he used to play in, which is a crazy circle of life. But yeah, the season ends in June, and I think that tournament's like mid-June. So, Canada basketball has been a big part of my life. And 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't really know where it would go. And they called upon me, and we have this pool of players, and they called upon me, and I ended up playing really well. And it kind of led to more opportunities, just one at a time. And last year, getting to play in the World Cup with guys like Corey Joseph and Ken Birch, who are NBA guys, and I was a starter on that team, really kind of cemented a role on that team that there's not a lot of players like me on the rosters. So we have a bunch of NBA players who are really, really tough. But if we have a training camp, I think, I'm probably going to be there. We'll just see how COVID situation goes. But at the end of the day, I just want Canada to make the Olympics. So whether I'm there or not, I'll be cheering.
That's really cool. And I know your dad had, like you mentioned earlier, your dad's done it. He had a long career. So that's got to be fun to talk about full circle, right? He's, you're kind of keeping that Wiltshire legacy alive. That's pretty cool.
For sure. Yeah. No, it was when I was little, I didn't realize the importance. But now, playing for Canada and just that's in my blood. People give me a hard time, especially Kevin. That I'm not really born in Canada, but everything growing up was Canada basketball. So I haven't really thought twice about it. And it's been awesome for my basketball career and also the experiences and friendships I've made along the way.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, final thing, because we didn't get into this. Tell me something about playing for Coach Few. The guy seems like he's never flustered, but that can't be true, can it be?
No, Coach Few he really is very even-headed. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, he got a system in place that's just so perfect for him. There's guys behind the scene, like, Tommy Lloyd, and he's doing a lot of the stuff on the bench, helping coach with making sure guys are playing, stuff like that. So, Coach Few, he really puts the family in the program. Like, when I mean, like, from head to toe, like, he's on a first name basis with everyone on that campus. Having a guy like that lead a team is pretty fun.
What's the final question? What's the best thing about having played at Gonzaga?
I think having played at Gonzaga, looking back, I think it's just the family. Kentucky, I say that about Kentucky too, but I think Gonzaga it's a smaller scale. So, I really do know people on a very personal level, and being there for my redshirt year, I made relationships and even outside of basketball with professors and stuff like that. And then I was able to fortunately finish my master's there. Just having that resource and it's so close to my house. And now going back up there, they have a renovated gym. Seeing where the program is and having those resources, anytime I'm back home, I can go up there, use their resources. So just having that family and always open doors is probably the biggest thing.
When you're done playing, when it's all said and done, whether it's NBA again or staying overseas, will you make your home in Portland? What's the long-term plan for the family?
I think the short-term plan, I have a home base in Portland. And I also have a home. So I have a home base in Portland and I have a home base in Spain. So my philosophy is if I'm playing overseas, Spain is a place where family can go and be a short 2-hour flight to wherever I am. So it's kind of a different approach. And a lot of people don't really buy places overseas, but I started a little real estate company that I'm trying out and I'm going to try to acquire as many European properties while I'm over here. So To tell you a plan would be a lie because I don't really know where life's going to go and I have no idea where I'm going to be working. So if you give me a job someday, I'll be in that city. If Coach Few gives me a job, I'll be in that city. I don't know where I'm going to be, so I just got to be open minded.
Well, I know broadcasting could be in your future too. We've talked about that. So I'm here to help you on that end, if I can help. And in all seriousness, stay healthy. Finish up what's been a great season so far for you and your teammates. I know you guys are doing reasonably well in the Turkish League. But all the best to you. I hope to see you in June, and then hopefully see you in late July with Canada in Tokyo. So, and you know, I'm here for you anytime I can help. I'm here, and I can't thank you enough. People are going to love hearing about what you've been doing, Kyle. So thanks so much.
No, I appreciate it, Fran. It's crazy, because I feel like the first time we've talked was maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's always fun talking hoops with you, and I appreciate you having me on your show. And I'm definitely always watching your Twitter and all your shows. So definitely look up to you in the world of broadcasting. So I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I'll be here to help, and I'll try to change that Zoom background to the kennel when I can.
Yeah, please do. Or you can do Rupp Arena, or half Rupp and half Gonzaga.
Rupp would be good. Rupp would be another one. So that would be cool. All right, stay healthy, keep playing well, and we'll get this. We'll get everybody in Big Blue Nation and Zags basketball land out. We'll let them know what you've been doing, and you've been doing great. So keep it up.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Many thanks to Kyle Wilcher. I hope you enjoyed that. Great guy, great stories, and we wish him all the best of luck. He and his wife are expecting a baby here shortly in Ankara, so we wish them the best, and Kyle's going to have a great long career in basketball. I might even see him in the NBA again someday, but kudos to Kyle. We appreciate him, and remember, if you enjoy what we're doing, subscribe on the Apple Podcast. Give us a good rating so that the bosses like it, and they know that we're giving you great content. Also, you can subscribe on the SiriusXM app and go back and listen to those shows. So many thanks to you. Thanks for listening. And remember, next week, I'm going to bring you to another place, I promise you, in my world of basketball.
SiriusXM Podcasts.